Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for the privilege you give us to be in your house this morning. Thank you for your word, and as we look into it, may we learn from your servants, the Israelites, this day. Thank you for all that you do for us, and thank you for loving us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to talk about the book of Numbers, specifically chapters 1 through 4. You hear me okay, Mr. Ron?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, I appreciate that. So, just what things have recently happened to the Israelites? As you think about the book of Numbers, or where are the books before the Numbers? What comes right before it? Begins with an L. And before that is? Very good. So what things have happened in those books specifically that kind of lead us to where we are now with the book of Numbers? It doesn't have to be Laura that answers. What things have been going on in Exodus, Leviticus? What things?
Well, we just left Egypt.
No, you haven't left. You're going to leave Egypt, yeah. So you got the 10 plagues, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to leave Egypt. What else has happened?
Grumbling.
We got grumbling going on, yep. And what else have we seen?
Well, the giving of the law.
Giving of the law, and what else?
And plans for the tabernacle.
Plans for the tabernacle. What else do y'all remember? Do y'all remember a battle that they had where Moses had to stand up and he holds his arms up, and as long as he's got his arms up, they're winning? Yeah, I think it's a battle of Malak is what it is. So a few of the things we got in here. So we got the 10 plagues, so they got to see those things. They got to see the first Passover, Angel of Death. That had to be kind of a neat thing to go through. They're going to be leaving Egypt. They're walking through the Red Sea. Kind of a big deal there, right? Pillar of fire. Also, they get to watch the Egyptian army get kind of wiped out by that Red Sea too, right? So we got the complaints like y'all talked about, food and water, defeat of Amalek. We got Mount Sinai, the laws given for the and plans for the tabernacle, and we're also going to talk about the golden calf incident, kind of a big deal there, right? Bad news for them, bad day on Black Rock. And then construction of the tabernacle. So those are things that have happened recently, and when I talk about recently, that's within like roughly a year, maybe a little over a year time frame we're talking about. All these things have happened to these folks going through there. So quite a bit of incidents compressed in a short period of time. When we talk about Numbers and we talk, you know, the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Numbers is going to talk about between 38 and 39 years of that time frame. So Exodus happens. We get through Exodus, about a year or so has passed, and now Numbers is going to be starting up. And this is kind of a timeline. I apologize for it being somewhat of an eye chart right here. But you can see 1446 is roughly the time frame that they identify when the Exodus occurred. And part of that is based on 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And I'm just going to read it for you real quick. It says in 1 Kings 6, 1, "Now it came about in the 480th year after the sons of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord." So based on that number, based on the fact that we knew when Solomon was reigning and when he started the big temple, they kind of backdoored into it, and that's where they come up with 446. So that's roughly the number we're talking about. 446 to 406 is going to be this time frame we're talking about in Numbers. And again, up here it says it's 38 years, 3 months and 10 days time frame. But in other world events, what's going on in the big kind of picture, you've got the Bronze Age that's going on. In Bronze Age, one of the artifacts they found over in Crete has been a bronze helmet. So those kind of things are going on. Bronze is being used for both industrial and military purposes. Battle of Megiddo, which is Egypt versus the clans, or basic city-states around the land of Canaan. I hesitated calling them Canaanites because the scholars didn't call them Canaanites. But it's that land of Canaan that Egypt is going to be battling. And the pharaoh at the time is a guy named Thutmose III. And the thing that's interesting about this battle is it's a kind of a documented battle. They're going to list not just the fact that it's a battle, but what the military strengths were of both sides and how many casualties there were and what the military strategies were. And again, that information was recorded by one of the Egyptian military leaders. So it's probably got some of a, the winners write history, right, Mr. Ron? And so according to their documents, roughly it was 10 to 20,000 Egyptian soldiers versus 10 to 15,000 of these Canaan people from Canaan going to battle it out. The short story is there are three routes you can choose. You can go a northern route to attack from Egypt attacking this land because they're being they're basically fighting an insurrection movement. You can go to the north to fight them. You can go south to fight them. Or you can take this route that's kind of a dangerous route. It's the shortest route, but because it's got this narrow ravine and canyon walls and everything, all the military leaders for Egypt says, don't go this way, don't do that. The Pharaoh says, well, if y'all are thinking that, then these Canaan leaders are going to be thinking the same thing. We're going to surprise them. We're going to go that way. So they go this shortcut way. It takes them basically towards Megiddo. They route the two armies that way because they had their forces so spread out they couldn't react quick enough. The Egyptians get in there. They route them. Everyone falls back to Megiddo, and then there's this seven-month siege. Megiddo is a city. Seven-month siege. Eventually, the Egyptians win. There are some deaths, but the thing to point out is that he doesn't go in there and wipe everyone out that's in the city. He conquers the place. He basically takes the firstborn son of all these leaders, brings them back to Egypt, trains them up on the Egyptian ways and that kind of stuff, and then plants them back in the surrounding area to basically become vassals for that state and everything, those city states. That was his structure, a way to take over and everything. It probably would have worked, but the whole Egyptian system kind of started tailing off there, and so that strategy didn't work too well for them. The Hittite Empire, it's going to begin to rise. Starting in 1400 BC, it's going to start to rise, and it's going to stay strong until about 1100 BC, and then they get kind of wiped out after that. The only other thing to mention, and Pastor, this is just from the cultural standpoint, writings that's going on. In the land of Greece, there's this thing called Linear One that's going on, and it's their way of written form of communication. There's a Linear One, and there's actually a Linear Two. And Linear One hasn't been deciphered yet. There's very few writings of it, but during that day, that was the common form of communication in that area. They don't know they can't decipher it at this time. There's the Linear Two, they've been able to figure that one out, but not the Linear One. But that's what's going on in 1400 BC. Or the 15th century BC. I'm sorry?
Is that the one where they all committed suicide instead of surrender?
Oh, no, sir. That's Masada, I believe. Yeah, and that's the Hebrews, and that's Pastor will tell you that story, but that's a long time in the future for that one. So the title for our book, Numbers, the Hebrew title for this book was actually Bamidbar, which means in the wilderness, and it's taken from the first verse in Numbers. But the Septuagint, or the Greek translation, uses the title Erithmoi, where we get arithmetic from, meaning numbers. So that's how we get the title for this our book, the Book of Numbers. Basically, because they've got all these census going on. Now, this is how the chapter is going to start out. And I've got everything in here, but we're not going to read through the whole thing. What I was hoping to do, and this is why you guys are kind of in your groups here, I have an assignment for you guys. Ooh, yeah. Each one of you get a clipboard, because I hope we've got enough clipboards in here so you can keep your own records and everything. But you guys here are going to be one team, all right? Along with Vicar Josh. You are the southern group, okay? You guys up here are going to be the northern group. You're part of the north too, sorry. You guys are going to be the western group. And don't worry, I've got theirs. I've got more. Don't worry. Everybody's got their own. If there's one thing I learned as being a dad, we don't share very well. So everybody gets their own. So now then. The first assignment, as you look at your first page, it's got Numbers chapters 1 through 4 on there, right? Y'all can work in your groups. The idea is to work in your group and everything. So you have to be sociable. Pardon? Own. Pens, Pastor. Do we have pens? Okay. I thought everybody brought pens. You what?
The red ones you may want to.
Yes. I've got some.
Thank you.
You're good?
Thank you, sir.
Y'all need pens? Pens, pencils, either one works. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Here's one for you guys. Here's one for you guys. Here's one for you guys. And one for you guys. And the idea on this first part is we want to identify the tribe who's being identified, who their leader is, and what their population is. And so, like on the first one, so like for Reuben, Eleazar is the leader of that group. So those kind of folks are going to be identified in this part. Yeah. Does anyone need a Bible or any of that kind of stuff, or we're good? What's my?
What? You're the Californians, what did you say?
Do what?
Westerners. We're all Westerners, right?
No. You guys are West.
What are we?
You guys are South.
I'm South.
South.
I thought they were South.
Do what? No, I'm sorry. Y'all, they're East.
Oh, we're East.
Y'all are East.
Oh, okay.
Y'all are East. Yeah, you're going to be East. Sorry.
South.
Pardon?
Can we change our name? We want to be South.
Yeah, relocate. You got to get some others to relocate, too. Y'all figured it out? Just do the first three. That's all you have to do. Just the first three. Or the three that's associated. So they're doing three, you're doing three, they're doing three, and y'all are doing three. Did y'all catch up, Miss Ramona? Okay. Just three.
Three, because in the verses you gave us, we have four.
I know, because y'all got Manasseh who got squeezed in there with Ephraim. So yeah. Just take the first one and. Yeah.
Four, Ephraim and Manasseh.
Well, but you don't have populations. Your second verse didn't have the population for it, right?
Right.
Well, I haven't started looking at 34 to 39 yet.
Okay. 34 and 30 through 39 is going to have your populations. We'll get everybody together. Abby, did you share your information with everyone, Abby?
Everyone has the sticky.
Okay. Okay. All right.
She was last on the list. You got it after her.
Okay.
I did share.
All right. Ready? Do what?
Do we go to the next
one? Not yet. Not yet. Oh, okay. But you don't have the sticky to work ahead with unless you look it up. So. Okay. You guys ready? Who had Reuben and those guys? Y'all have Reuben? So who was the, okay, tribe, who was the leader? Yep. And how many folks were there?
46,500.
Did y'all hear that? Can you say it again?
Down?
Yeah. Fill out the rest. Yeah, based on their information, y'all are going to fill out the rest of your charts. We're only doing, you're only doing one section of it, and they're going to help you fill out the rest. So, does that make sense? Yep. Go ahead, Rocky, say it again. And who's next?
Cindy.
Yep. And who was next?
Judah.
Yep.
And leader is Hashan.
Mm-hmm.
74,600.
Very good.
What was that tribe?
That was Judah.
Judah.
Judah. Okay. Who's got Issachar? How'd that go?
Not sure. Issachar and Nathaniel.
Yeah.
54,400.
Yep.
And then Zebulun.
Uh huh.
From the tribe of Zebulun. Eliab, 57,400.
Mm hmm.
And this is where I got confused. The sons of Joseph, those are listed individually. Where you got those? Okay. So yeah, Joseph.
But you had Ephraim then, right?
Yeah. Which one?
Ephraim.
Oh, yeah.
And who was the leader for Ephraim?
Oh, that's from Benjamin. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Elishma. Yeah. And how many folks were associated with that tribe?
You got that, Karen? I went off on a tangent. Hang on, I'll tell you.
40,500. Now, you guys had Manasseh, right?
So, Manasseh,
yeah.
The leader was Gamaliel.
Yep. That's it.
Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
Leader was Abidan.
Yep.
And 35,400.
Very good.
And then Dan. Ahizer. 62,700.
Very good. And you guys finish up. Who do we have?
Asher.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
45,650.
Yep.
And Naphtali, Hira was their leader, and their population was 53,400.
And so what was the total population then? Did y'all, anybody look at that real quick to see what it was? The total population is 603,550. And this, again, is just the males that were 20 years of age and older. So that's all that's represented here. Depending on which books you look at, the total census of the whole group could have been anywhere between 1 to 2 million people. Some estimated as high as 3 million. Now I'm just going to space through this part of chapter 1 for us because y'all have looked through that. This last part of chapter 1 is going to talk about the Levites, because we didn't mention the Levites, right? And in here it tells us, but the Levites were not numbered among them by their father's tribe, for the Lord had spoken to Moses, saying, only the tribe of Levi you shall not number, nor take a census of among them, among the children of Israel. But you shall appoint Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, over its furnishings, over all things that belong to it. And they shall carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings, and they shall attend to it and camp around the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle is to go forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be set up, the Levites shall set it up. The outsider who comes near the tent shall be put to death. The children of Israel shall pitch their tents, everyone by his own camp, everyone by his own standard, according to the armies. But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of testimony, that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of testimony. So that's kind of how we get a Levite's position in here. Now, as far as just history on the Levites, remember, what was Levi's big sin? He and Simeon, what was their big thing they did back in Genesis when they were brothers under Jacob? Do y'all remember that? What was their sister's name? Yeah, kind of ugly thing. No, they got the guys to circumcise themselves, and then they ended up killing them on the second day of their pain and everything. Kind of an ugly situation. Well,
good strategy.
One of the things that they did also, or as far as happened for them, is when they were standing before Jacob to be blessed, Jacob made it clear, saying, "You guys are have a lot of wrath and anger in you." And he told specifically Levi that you will have no inheritance, or not so much inheritance, you'll be scattered throughout Jacob, is what he's going to say. Well, this is part of that coming to be true. The other side of it, the good side for Levi, is the fact that back in Exodus, when we had the whole golden calf thing going on, that Levi was one of the first group, the tribe of Levi came to the aid of Moses. When Moses said, "Who is with the Lord?" the tribe of Levi came forward, stood with Moses. Now, there was some house cleaning to be done. There were about 3,000 people that were killed that day because of their disobedience. And Levi, the sons of Levi were the ones that carried out that justice. Kind of, I think those two kind of things go hand in hand in defining why Levi was in this role of taking care of the tabernacle and that kind of thing. But as we go on, we have our tribe locations and assignments that God talked about. And that's going to be in chapter 2 as we go through this. I wanted to finish chapter 1 by this statement right here. Chapter 1 finishes, "Thus the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so they did." So that's how we end chapter 1. Now chapter 2 is going to start up here. And we're going to start talking about where we're going to put people. So my east guys, here's the east. Pardon? No, these guys are going to be south. Y'all are south now, right? Nope. There's west. You guys are the north. And man, I apologize. Y'all are going to be chapter 2, verses 10 through 16, okay? I thought I had a sticky for you for sure. Yes, sir. Oh, you do have two. Ah, fat fingered that one. There we go. Mm-hmm. And so, based on your label, I just want y'all to take care of who's going to be in the east, the north, south, or whichever one you have there. And then also, look up how many people are associated with each of those areas or locations, as far as how many people are going to be in the north, how many people are going to be south for your specific area. East team ready?
How much is three score?
60. Score is 20, I think. Abby, who's going to be in the East?
Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun.
And then how many people did that represent?
A lot.
Do I? No, it should have a total in there for you.
Yeah, verse 4.
Judah is 74,600. Yeah, that was just Judah.
186,400.
Yep, that's it. So that's in the East. Who's in the North? Which tribes are in the North? Yep. And about how many people was that?
157,600.
And in the East, or excuse me, in the West?
Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin, 181.
Yep. And in the South, who do we have, Miss Laura?
You have Reuben, Simeon, and Gad.
Yep.
151,450.
Very good. So as you look at these numbers, the distribution of them, where are most of the people weighted? Which way are we weighted? East. Which way are we heading, you think?
East.
We're heading east, right? The promised land is to the east. We're still in the wilderness. We're going to be heading east. And then what was the first tribe you mentioned, Abby?
Judah.
Judah's in the east. Remember, Judah's going to be one of the leaders. Not so much that Judah is a leader right now, but Judah's being positioned in this area of leadership. They're going to be going forward, taking the leading the children of Israel. Yes, Moses and Aaron are still there to provide leadership and that kind of thing. But the idea that Judah's positioned in this way, leading the children through to the promised land. I don't want to read too much into it, but then I do want to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, almost 20,000 more fighting men than any of the other tribes mentioned.
Yeah, and that's just God, yeah. I don't know why that is, but that's the way he did it. But that's what chapter 2 is going to be talking about. And again, this is just where are we centered around? What's everything centered around? Pardon? The Levites, yeah. And the tabernacle. That's right. So that's going to take us through chapter 2 here. I'm going to just space through this real quick. I'm going to back up. And again, we're going to close out Numbers. And this is the very end of chapter 2. It's going to tell us, thus the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So they camped by their standards, and so they broke camp, each one by his family, according to their father's houses. So this is how chapter 2 ends. Now we've got chapter 3. Now we're going to be talking about Aaron and Moses and how the Levites are supposed to be arranged here. It tells us starting out, now these are the records of Aaron and Moses when the Lord spoke with Moses on Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron, Nadab the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priest whom he consecrated to minister as priest. Nadab and Abihu had died before the Lord when they offered profane fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. So Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests in the presence of their father, in the presence of Aaron, their father. The story of that takes us back to Leviticus chapter 10, and there are just a few verses on it, but it starts out by telling us, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Now then, the other things, a follow-up to that, is that they weren't supposed to mourn for the family itself wasn't supposed to mourn for the loss of these guys. He was very specific, saying, don't rend your clothes, don't pull your hair. You're not to show any type of sympathy for these guys because they died. What they did was wrong. What's kind of interesting to note is that was in verse 1 and 2 I was reading. By verse 9, God's going to tell them, God's going to tell Aaron, and when the sons of Aaron are ministering before the Lord as high priest, they're not to have strong drink or any liquor like that. So whether or not that was associated with what these guys had done and caused them to die like they were drunk and then started serving the Lord, I don't know that for sure. But it's kind of interesting to say that right after this event, these rules are placed there for the Levites or for the sons of Aaron not to do. So just food for thought there for you. But as a result of that, we've got two new guys that are going to be ministering, Eleazar and Ithamar. Now, the one thing about Ithamar, we don't hear too much more about him. Eleazar is going to be the guy that kind of carries on after Aaron. And we'll read about him a little bit more in chapter 9 of Numbers. What I thought was interesting about that when they're talking about, especially when they're talking about Eleazar, I think it's God and Moses are talking. And Moses is telling, and God's telling Moses, Aaron's about ready to die, and I want you to get Eleazar, and you're going to take the garments off Aaron and put them on Eleazar, kind of showing the transfer of leadership. One guy that's not really mentioned, and I don't know what he's thinking about all this, is Aaron. He's just kind of hearing this third party, this third person, wondering, okay, I'm going to be dying soon. I don't know if he was expecting that or not, but I just thought it was kind of interesting. Oh, yeah, by the way. Now, we're going to talk about the Levites here and their locations around the tabernacle. So the west team is right here. The east team, the south team, and the north team. Now, the east team, you guys are a little bit different. These guys have the sons of Aaron, or sons of Levi associated with them. Those three do, but you guys are just the sons of Aaron. And there's not really a leader that's pointed out there. So I drew a line through the word leader on y'all's thing because there's not really a leader specified like there were in the other tribes and that kind of thing. And then I also wanted you to, I put verses in chapter 4 there to identify the duties that they were going to have associated with the movement of the tabernacle. Because remember, they're the ones supposed to be picking it up and putting it down. Make sense, Mr. Ron? Okay. No. Just something that's simple that fit in there. You can just be very brief. I'm not looking for everything. All good, Sam? Okay. So what's the West team got?
Levi's son, was that Gershon?
Gershon is the son, yep.
And the leader was Eliasaph.
Yes.
And they were responsible for the tabernacle, the tent coverings, the curtains, the ropes, and everything related to their use.
Yeah. So they got all the coverings and all that kind of stuff, and that's what they're going to be hauling for the next however long they have to haul it. At this point, they don't know how long they're going to have to haul it. And I think the other part that I didn't put in the verse for you is that the oversight of those guys was done by Ithamar. He was supposed to be the overseer of that process or manager for that. South team, who was the Levi son for the South?
Oh,
yeah. Yep.
Eliza Pan,
that's it.
They cared for the ark, the table, the lampstand, altar, utensils, the inner curtain, all related equipment.
Yeah, all those temple articles they had to carry, right? And Eleazar was supposed to kind of oversee their efforts as far as manage that kind of stuff. Who'd you guys have?
We had North with Merari.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they had all the wood parts, basically. Y'all got the coverings and y'all got the wood parts kind of stuff for the tabernacle. And again, all the oversight for this group was done by Ithamar. And who would you guys have?
Eleazar and Ithamar.
Yep. Yeah. They were the packaging specialists is what they were. And why did they have to be packaging specialists? Did you catch that?
Because if anyone else touched it, they died.
Yeah, a little bit of pressure. A little bit of pressure on you.
Make sure everything's right.
Now, Eleazar was also responsible for the incense. Just him alone, though, was responsible for the incense. But all the stuff that Rocky talked about them moving, they were going to move it, but they had to make sure that they weren't even supposed to look at that stuff. As far as it had to be covered up and everything else, at least the things of the most holy place. Anything else to add to that, Pastor? I mean, so this is a whole process that was done. Now then, in chapter 3, it's also going to talk about, towards the end of chapter 3, we get this census of the number of Levites. It said all the firstborn males, let's see. Let me back up one more. You know, and all in verse 39 it starts out, all who were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron numbered and commanded of the Lord by their families, all the males from a month old and above were 22,000. So on that last sheet where I have the total number of Levites, that should be 22,000 on that thing. So remember, we're going to be doing the swap now of firstborn males, those belong to the Lord. And now we have the Levites, and Levites now are going to be ministering before the Lord in place of these firstborns. Then the Lord said to Moses, number all the firstborn males of the children of Israel from a month old and above, and take the number of their names, and you shall take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites, instead of all the firstborn among the livestock of the children of Israel. So Moses numbered the firstborn among the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded, and all the firstborn males, according to the number of names, from a month old and above, of those who were numbered of them, were 22,273. So, our firstborn males were 22,273, which leaves us a difference of, Mr. Sam? 273. Houston, we have a problem. They're not balancing out. We've got to do something about that. So God has an interesting way of doing that. In verse 46, I pick up there, and it said, as far as the redemption of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, who are more than the number of Levites, you shall take 5 shekels for each one individually, and you shall take them in the currency of the shekel of the sanctuary, the shekel of 20 gerahs, and you shall give money with which the excess number of them is redeemed to Aaron and his sons. So Moses took the redemption money from those who were over and above those who were redeemed by the Levites, from the firstborn of the children of Israel, he took the money, 1,365 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the redemption money to Aaron and his sons according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded. And this is how chapter 3 ends up. So we have a small fund started for Aaron and the sons, basically to minister to the minister for the ministry of the children of Israel. And it closes out chapter 3 basically saying, and they did what they were told to do. Moses did what he was told to do. The children of Israel did what they were told to do. In chapter 4, I kind of jumped ahead on y'all. they talk about a lot of the duties that the different sons of Levi were going to have. But one of the things that starts out also is another census is taken. But this time it's just from 30 years old and even to 50, way up to 50. Those were going to be the ones who entered service to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. So there's going to be a subset of this 22,000 number in which they're going to be able to serve. That number is going to be able to serve. I didn't put that down on there for y'all, but the number ends up being, I thought I wrote it down here. No, I didn't. Let me get this. That was more of the stuff they were supposed to do. I believe it's 8,500 is the end up being the number on that thing. No sockets, the census of the Levites, there they are. That's more of the sin. Pardon?
Is that the number in verse 34?
Yeah. In verse 48, then it says, those who were numbered were 8,580. And so out of that 22,000 number, a little over 8,000 were able to serve at that time. And this is the end of chapter 4, and again, it starts out by, it finishes by saying, according to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, each according to his service and according to his task. Thus they were numbered by him as the Lord commanded Moses. So this is where chapter 4 ends up. We've had four chapters now in which we've closed out with obedience, 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 obedience of the children of Israel. We really don't hear that too much. But what do I do with this? I wanted this to be more than just a collection of information for you guys. I wanted y'all to see, we're used to seeing Cecil B. DeMille depict the children of Israel going through the wilderness in this mob fashion, but there was really order to it. And as the children of Israel were going through, the center, who was the center? What was the center of their life at that point? The tabernacle, their relationship with God, right? Just like us, right? As we walk through life, our center should be focused on God, right? And obeying and walking with Him as opposed to taking the right turn and doing what we want to. There are so many times that we see the children of Israel portrayed as being disobedient, doing their own thing, blah, blah, blah kind of thing. But in this instance, these four chapters show the children of Israel doing exactly what God asked them to do. There wasn't a lot of fanfare. There wasn't fireworks and all that kind of stuff. It was just simple obedience. And for that, I'm very thankful. And I just wanted to share that with y'all today. Y'all have any questions or anything like that?
Did I get the understanding here that they have a different group of people that packaged up and as opposed to setting up?
Yes.
Two different?
Yeah, because the sons of Aaron were the only ones that could actually touch the articles and do what they needed to for like the Ark of the Covenant and the lampstands and all that kind of stuff. They could, the other Levites, even though they were Levites, they couldn't touch that. They could carry it as long as it was packaged properly. It's kind of like, remember how we used to have those electrostatic sensitive stickers on everything? You couldn't just carry a board around because you might short it out.
Yeah.
But as long as it was in that package, you could walk wherever you wanted to with it. It's the same kind of thing. The other three sons of Levi, they could carry whatever you asked them to carry, though they had specific tasks. But if you took it out of the package, they'd die just like you and I would. So, that makes sense? I'm sorry about the ESD thing. It's electrostatic discharge. It's one of those Lockheed things from way back. Thank you all, and you're dismissed.